This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Ending birthright citizenship. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, October 31. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says he's planning to stop the automatic right to citizenship for anyone born in the U.S. Hear what supporters and critics are saying.
As the president visited Pittsburgh to mourn victims of Saturday's synagogue massacre, the incident has put a focus on fringe social media platforms.
Notorious Boston gangster James Whitey Bulger has died. He was killed yesterday just hours after being transferred to a prison in West Virginia.
And on this Halloween, it's time for spikes in insurance claims.
Well, if you were thinking that you were going to get out of Halloween with just some bills for candy and costumes, well, you might be pretty lucky on that front. Insurers say that Halloween can be one of the worst days of the year for property-related claims. So it's homeowners and autos, and that would be anything from theft, vandalism, all sorts of other crimes.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on why insurance claims jump this time of year. Her report in about 20 minutes. Ramping up election year remarks on immigration, President Trump says he wants to sign an executive order that ends the automatic right to citizenship for anyone born in the U.S. In an interview published yesterday with Axios, Mr. Trump said he wants to end what is known as birthright citizenship, bypassing Congress and waving off the belief of many legal scholars that such a move would require a change to the Constitution.
We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
The White House didn't further explain Mr. Trump's assertion that he alone could make the move. Birthright citizenship is protected by the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, designed to grant full citizenship to former slaves. But some conservatives have opposed the policy, saying it improperly rewards the children of people in this country who lack proper documentation. President Trump has paid a visit to the Pittsburgh synagogue where 11 people were shot to death last Saturday. Mr. Trump and First Lady Melania Trump lit candles in the Tree of Life Temple and outside placed a stone and white flower taken from a White House garden on stars erected in memory of those who were slain. The event was punctuated by protesters gathered nearby, including a Presbyterian minister named Reverend Susan Rothenberg.
It's not about you! Let the families grieve! This is our neighborhood! You are not welcome here!
Counsel to the President, Kellyanne Conway.
I think it's unfortunate people were out there politically protesting with different messages today. That is their First Amendment right, but this president was not about politics today. He was about this, the mourning in Pittsburgh.
Mr. Trump also visited University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Presbyterian, where some of the wounded were taken. As mainstream social media companies like Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit try to push racist commentary and hate speech off their platforms, those conversations are finding homes in other corners of the web. Hours after Robert Bowers allegedly opened fire at a Pittsburgh synagogue Saturday, the right-wing social media platform where he had posted anti-Semitic messages lost the partners that kept it running. Wall Street Journal reporter Keech Hagee explains the fall of Gab.com. Keech, what are we learning?
Most people in the media have heard of in the last few days, which really attracted a lot of people that have been kicked off of Twitter and Facebook for violating policies against hate speech, basically. And what was sort of fascinating to watch in the wake of that shooting was the way that all of the web hosting services and payment processors around Gab quickly pulled their service and the site was taken offline. And this is something that is sort of become more routine in the last year, that these companies are having to police the front lines of free speech.
All right. So explain what happened, I guess, in the hours or a couple of days after the incident happened on Saturday with Gab.com.
Right. So in quick succession, Gab was dropped by its web hosting firm called Joyent. It was dropped by GoDaddy, its domain registrar, which is what allows it to have an address on the web. And it was cut off by payment processors, PayPal and Stripe. So it could no longer accept money. And it had a sort of a professional level of membership that was how it stayed afloat, kept the lights on. So with all of that stuff cut off, it was offline.
Wow. But a site like that couldn't have been unaware of complaints against it, right? Where they just, I'm speculating, they were just happy to keep collecting money while people complained until this happened?
Well, there had been sort of a drip against them for more than a year. So Apple and Google both banned Gab from their app stores. Last year, and Microsoft also threatened to knock them off their platform over some anti-Semitic posts, which were eventually deleted. But they had already been sort of pushed to the fringes already, and this was just the final straw.
Mm. We're speaking with Keech Hagee, Wall Street Journal reporter, about her story entitled "Pittsburgh Synagogue Shooting Puts Spotlight on Fringe Platforms and Their Partners." What else is out there? What else might be under a spotlight right now?
I think there's been a lot of questioning of, you know, about free speech and about what it means when the people who are kicked off Twitter go to a place where they just are talking to each other, and whether that's really a good idea. And what we've seen in the last few days is that really even the mainstream sites like Google and Facebook, they have a lot of this hate speech swirling around even there, though they are doing their best to police it and get it off.
There was one person quoted in your story talked about one of the difficult questions, and you sort of alluded to it there, and that's with potential controls these companies have in place, which are the ones we decide should be held accountable? Is that something we're still sifting through almost as a society or industry?
Absolutely. You saw over the weekend there's a group of activists called Sleeping Giants that got their start organizing ad boycotts against Breitbart, and they're still very, very active, and they immediately, in the wake of the shooting, were sending out messages on social media to Stripe, the payment platform, you know, saying, hey, just so everybody knows, they're supporting this platform where this guy was able to say these really odious anti-Semitic things. And, you know, within hours of that spotlight being shown, Stripe ended their support for Gab, at least suspended it. So I could see how the activism is extremely effective in the social media world.
Yeah. You in talking about Gab, mentioned that GoDaddy said it generally doesn't take action against sites that include, I guess, certain offensive content. But where was the line crossed here?
So for them, they said the line was about violence. You know, they are a very large domain registrar and one web hosting service, so they have all kinds of sites that use them. But once you step over the line toward incitement to violence, that breaks their terms of service, and that's why they stopped supporting the site.
Thanks, Keech. Wall Street Journal reporter Keech Hagee. It is 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Indonesian search and rescue workers believe they have found the fuselage of a passenger jet that crashed with 189 people on board. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Officials said earlier today that rescue workers are also trying to confirm the origin of an underwater ping signal. Ground staff lost touch with the Lion Air flight 13 minutes after takeoff Monday from Jakarta. There were no survivors. Investigators are looking into why the pilot of the Boeing 737 MAX 8 had asked to return to base, a request that ground control officials had granted, although the flight crashed soon after. An Indonesian Navy ship has been searching an area that's 5 nautical miles from where the aircraft lost contact. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The plane's black boxes, as the cockpit voice recorder and flight data recorder are known, should help explain why the almost new jet went down minutes after takeoff. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump visited the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh to pay his respects to those killed in Saturday's mass shooting as hundreds of protesters swarmed the streets nearby. Presbyterian minister Susan Rothenberg was one of the protesters.
You don't belong here! This is our neighborhood!
The president and first lady briefly went inside to light candles for each of the 11 victims. Trump then lay white roses and a stone from the White House for each victim at a memorial outside as Trump drove away. Protesters chanted, "Make America peaceful again." President Trump says he intends to sign an executive order that would end birthright citizenship for the children of many immigrants to the U.S., but House Speaker Paul Ryan quickly rejected the plan. In an interview with Axios, Trump said birthright citizenship has to end.
You can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order.
Under the 14th Amendment, citizenship is awarded to children born in the U.S. or in U.S. territories to parents of immigrants to the country. Hours later, Speaker Ryan, who rarely breaks with the president, rejected Trump's comments, saying the president cannot end birthright citizenship with an executive order. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is the subject of at least three investigations by the department's Inspector General's office. The office is looking into his decision to block two Native American tribes from operating a casino in Connecticut, his involvement in a development deal with the chairman of oil field services company Halliburton Company in Montana, and a plan to sell land that's part of a Utah National Monument. It's not clear which investigation has been referred to the Justice Department. Well, if you're not into trick or treating today, you might want to go out to eat. Halloween is one of the slowest days in the restaurant world, so you shouldn't have any trouble getting a table at your favorite local joint. Also, some places have special deals to lure you in. If you wear a costume, you can get free stuff at places such as BurgerFi, David's Tea, Insomnia Cookies, and Crispy Cream.
Nice. I never thought about that, that this would be a good restaurant day because everybody's home answering the door, whatever,
exactly.
Trick-or-treating. Wow. Very good. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Halloween could be scarier for your budget than anticipated. Homeowners and auto insurance claims tend to jump during the holiday. More on what to expect and how to prep from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner. Kelly, what should we know?
First thing you want to be thinking about is what is your insurance coverage? Because for most people, you're looking at homeowners, you know, vandalism, crime, that's going to be covered. But, you know, when you look at those numbers, you know, the numbers are up. You know, these are just claims that are big enough for people to be worth it filing a claim. You could have a deductible of several hundred dollars before it kicks in. So obviously, when we're talking about this spike, we're talking about big dollar claims. So you might even have a couple of hundred dollars on the hook before your insurance kicks in. Worth it to know what that coverage looks like. And then on the auto front, what the folks tell us at the Insurance Information Institute is about 8 in 10 people have comprehensive coverage, which is going to cover, you know, vandalism, theft of auto parts, all that sort of extra damage that's not a collision. So if you're one of those, you know, 2 in 10 that don't have that coverage, might be a good time to be making sure that you really are okay with that risk.
The spike in claims, that includes, I guess, what some of us call Mischief Night, Devil's Night, right, the night before Halloween?
Yep, that was always the big thing where I grew up in South Jersey was the night before. And travelers, when they were pulling at this data, they said that they did see a little bit of an uptick the day before, but they suspect that, you know, for most people, if there's damage that's occurring at 11 o'clock at night the night before, you're probably finding out about it when you wake up on Halloween.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they assume that that spike on Halloween has some wrapped into it from the night before.
Hmm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner. And she's written a piece entitled, Halloween is the Scariest Day of the Year for This Financial Shock. We're talking about the jump in insurance claims around Halloween for things like perhaps a damage to your home or your car. What kind of steps can we take to minimize potential damage?
Well, liability coverage is another thing you want to look at there, because that's everything from, you know, a trick-or-treater trips on your steps and, you know, sustains some injury, to if you have a pet, you know, maybe they are not as fond of all these costumed visitors as you might be. So you want to be thinking about your liability there as well. So you can do things like clear out your yard and sidewalk of potential hazards, make sure the path to your door is well lit, and then consider, you know, keeping your pets away from the door if you're at all worried about how they're going to react.
Right. What's the best case, I guess, for checking for these potential gaps in insurance you might have? Not all of us read fine print, obviously.
Yes, obviously read the fine print if you've been working with an insurance agent or whatever company you're using for your coverage. Just reach out to them and get a sense of what your coverage might be for some of these things, especially for something like liability coverage or dog bite coverage.
Ooh.
There's a lot of variation within there that, you know, it could be worth a quick phone call. And then in terms of securing your home, that's another kind of key component of this. If you're going to go out and do some trick-or-treating or you're going to some other sort of festivity, you know, that's where, you know, you want to be thinking about ways to, you know, just make sure that your house is a less attractive target. If you've got those automatic lights that come on with movement, you know, make sure that those are on. If you have a security system, leave it active so that, you know, maybe you're getting some video footage of whoever's coming up your walk, and any other theft deterrents that you could put in place, you know, that would be a good thing to think about. And, you know, leave your car inside the garage if that's at all an option.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Coming to you today from the Dell Studios, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors. No, there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. Voter enthusiasm among President Trump's most ardent supporters is high. Some 79% of these Trump Republicans rated themselves as highly interested in the coming midterms next Tuesday. By contrast, interest in the election was lower among the smaller group of Republicans who say they support the party itself more than they support Mr. Trump. Analysis from Wall Street Journal reporter Dante Chinney. Dante, what have you found?
What the data show is there are a couple different kinds of Republicans in this midterm, and obviously Trump has really altered the party. And as he has, there are different kinds of Republicans. There are Republicans who are primarily Trump Republicans, and there are Republicans who are more what we call party Republicans. They're Republicans first and kind of Trump voters second. So there are districts that are in congressional districts that are really good places to look at these two voters, two types of voters in play. And we went to one of these. We went to Pennsylvania's 10th district, which is up around Harrisburg, the state capital. And we were basically just trying to take the temperature of the place. This is a district right now that is rated lean Republican, so it's leaning Republican by the Cook Political Report. And we were trying to get a sense of what about these party Republicans, because if you're going to see them anywhere, you're going to see them in a place like Harrisburg. And there are districts like this all around the country, districts around state capitals, where you have a lot of people who work in government and who are Republicans first and foremost, and Trump is kind of a new character on the scene for them, but they're Republicans before they're Trump voters. And, you know, what we heard up there is a lot of concern. The incumbent Republican there, his name is Scott Perry. And he is talking to people who have gone campaigning with him and talking to voters in the area. They're very concerned about whether or not these voters are going to turn out, this kind of group of party Republicans.
All right. So where are those other districts, by the way, where we see this, the Trump Republicans and then those party Republicans, as you mentioned?
So you see them around a lot of state capitals. Ohio 12, which is around Columbus. Michigan 8, which is around Lansing. Iowa 3, around Des Moines. And all these districts are currently rated as toss-ups. When you look at them, I forget the one in Indiana as well, but there are a list of these districts that are around state capitals full of these kind of establishment Republicans, party Republicans, that are listed as toss-ups. And what they do on election night is going to determine a lot as to what happens in control of the U.S. House of Representatives.
We're speaking with Dante Chinney, politics and data reporter at the Wall Street Journal, about his piece entitled GOP Works to Rally the Trump Skeptics Within Party. So what's being done to get those folks out?
So if you're one of those candidates, you're left with an interesting choice. Do you talk about Donald Trump, or do you try to change the conversation? And in the district we were looking at in Pennsylvania 10, the incumbent Republican is talking, doing a couple things. First of all, he's talking a lot about Nancy Pelosi. We found they'd aired more than 600 ads, television ads, that mention Nancy Pelosi in a negative light, basically talking about, you don't want this, you don't want my opponent, his name is George Scott, you don't want him because he's a Pelosi Democrat, but to talk less about Trump. I will say, though, Perry, the incumbent Republican there, is talking a bit about Trump. When you go to his website, he mentions Trump prominently on the site. And it's interesting because that district, Pennsylvania 10, is a mix of kind of greater Harrisburg and more rural areas in Pennsylvania. So it's a mix of, do you not talk about Trump and risk not turning out the kind of more rural Republican Trump voter? Or do you talk a lot about Trump and risk kind of hurting yourself with these establishment Republicans around the state capitol? And that's kind of a line he's got to walk, and it's very difficult. It's not an easy path for him, and I think this district, in normal situation, more normal elections, would be pretty solidly Republican, but he's dealing with a very different environment right now, the incumbent, Mr. Perry, and they're basically trying to play a little bit of both sides of the coin, and it's a challenge for them.
We've heard the phrase before. I know it's popular, but does this all come down to enthusiasm?
It really does. I think it's in part. It's going to be enthusiasm, and the other thing is, the other side of enthusiasm really is apathy. Because it's weird. We talk about always the positive. Can you turn out this voter? It's also, can you make sure, particularly in a district like this, you're not doing stuff to turn off the other part of the party? So it's really it's about enthusiasm and apathy.
Thanks, Dante. Wall Street Journal reporter Dante Chinney. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, here's some advice for those planning on dressing up today for Halloween. Be careful what you put in your mouth. This lesson was learned the hard and painful way by an Alabama woman who has already had the fright of her life. According to the Huffington Post, Anna, too, was planning to be a zombie for the holiday and spent $3 on a pair of fake teeth for the costume. The zombie teeth attached to her regular chompers with adhesive, but she became unglued when she realized the fake teeth were stuck. Oof. Anna couldn't eat or drink because of the fake teeth, but tried drinking hot coffee, hoping the heat would loosen the glue. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. After a sleepless night, she attempted to get out of the sticky situation by making an emergency dental appointment, but the solution wasn't easy to come by. Finally, and without anesthesia, the dentist went in and very painfully managed to remove the fake teeth. All is well now, but needless to say, Anna says she will never put anything like that in her mouth again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't even eat or drink. I can understand she couldn't eat, but couldn't drink?
Yeah, couldn't eat, drink, or basically sleep. Like, she just had a miserable, 24 or so hours before she could finally get in the dentist. And they kind of sort of debated what to do, and they wanted to be careful not to actually remove any of her permanent teeth.
Of course.
They couldn't give her anesthesia for some reason because of that whole process. So it was just the worst situation you can imagine.
What a mess.
Yes, but she's okay now. That's lesson to be learned. $3 fake teeth, glue, probably cheap as well. You don't want to glue anything to your teeth, I don't think.
Oh, that's terrible.
I don't think that's something I'd be doing. And a follow-up, Gordon, to the story we told you about a little while back. You might remember that chicken chain KFC was trying to drum up some publicity, so they offered up cash for college to the first family to name their newborn baby Harland after the chain's founder, Colonel Harland Sanders. KFC announced the contest in August as a way to commemorate the Colonel's 128th birthday and drum up interest in the name Harlan, which had been lacking in popularity in recent years. And it didn't take long for a family to take the challenge. The company announced the winner of the contest, Harland Rose, was born on September 9th, weighing in at 8 pounds, 1 ounce. Little Harlan's family will receive $11,000 for her college fund.
What?
Now, yes.
$11,000.
Now, that's what we said at the time, right? Now, though, this is great. I mean, every single little bit helps. Congratulations to them. Super cute baby and everything. But the company could have done a little better, we thought, at the time, and we still think now, than $11,000. Right?
I'm stunned.
I mean, you're doing
$11,000.
You're doing college tours right now.
Yes.
That barely pays for your gas to get to the
college, right? That's right. In fact, so I did a little math. So it's $11,000. divided by 18 years.
Yes.
That's $611 a year.
Right.
Divided by 12 months a year, yes, which is about $51 per week.
Right.
I'm sorry, per month, which is $4 per week, roughly.
Yes.
$4 a week over the course of 18 years.
Well, sure. When you break it down like that, Gordon.
I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
horrible.
Yeah,
that's...
KFC could have done just slightly. And I'm not sure where they came up with 11,000. That's kind of an odd number, too. $11,000. Not exactly sure where they came up with that exact number.
That's like probably in-state tuition, maybe, you know, in Kentucky or something like that for a year.
Oh, yeah, bad news. I think we can do a little better than that. For little baby Harlan, let's do better than that.
How about just getting an agent? Let's negotiate that north.
Exactly.
Wow. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Halloween. Welcome in. New research shows that dogs can be trained to detect the malaria parasite thanks to their sophisticated sense of smell. According to the World Health Organization, there were an estimated 445,000 deaths from malaria worldwide in 2016. Malaria is a life-threatening disease caused by parasites transmitted to people through the bites of infected mosquitoes. Scientists used nylon socks to collect foot odor samples from children in Gambia, a small West African country. Researchers used a finger prick then to see if the children had a malaria parasite in their blood. The sock samples were sent to the Medical Detection Dogs charity in the United Kingdom, where dogs were trained to sniff out the difference in scent between infected and uninfected children. Dogs, by the way, have at least 220 million olfactory receptors as compared to 5 million for the typical human. Researchers hope help from dogs could lead to a non-invasive way to screen for malaria at airports and other ports of entry where dogs are already used to sniff out narcotics, thereby preventing the spread of the disease. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump says he wants to end a constitutional right that automatically grants citizenship to any baby born in the U.S. In an interview with Axios, he said his goal is to halt guaranteed citizenship for babies of non-citizens and unauthorized immigrants.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Guess what? 14th Amendment.
You don't.
U.S. citizenship through birth comes via the 14th Amendment, which was ratified after the Civil War to secure citizenship for newly freed black slaves. It was later used to guarantee citizenship to all babies born on U.S. soil. As thousands in Pittsburgh's Jewish community began burying their dead, President Trump encountered hundreds of protesters when he arrived to pay his respects. Funerals were held yesterday for Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz, Daniel Stein, and Cecil and David Rosenthal, who were among 11 people killed in the shooting rampage at the Tree of Life Synagogue Saturday. The funerals were the first in a week-long series of funerals for victims of the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history. The death of gangster James Whitey Bulger brings an end to a notorious chapter in the history of South Boston, the neighborhood where Bulger once ran a ruthless gang responsible for loan sharking, extortion, and murders. The 89-year-old Bulger was killed yesterday in a federal prison in West Virginia. DJ Durkin is poised to return as head of a splintered Maryland football program, coming back to the sideline following multiple investigations involving the death of a player and bullying by the coaching staff. The announcement was made yesterday by Board of Regents Chair James Brady.
We believe that he is a good man and a good coach who is devoted to the well-being of the student-athletes under his charge.
Not everyone's happy about the recommendation that Durkin, who has been on paid administrative leave since August 11th, should retain his job. The decision opens the door for Durkin to return to the team as soon as this week. It was a great World Series for Boston, but not necessarily for Fox. The Red Sox's five-game victory over the Dodgers averaged 14.1 million viewers. That's down sharply from last year's Fall Classic, which averaged 18.9 million viewers for the Astros' seven-game win over the Dodgers. The most watched game this year was the clinching fifth game on Sunday night, which was seen by 17.6 million people.
Yeah. And the game is just so boring. I only check in for the clinchers. It's really,
not a big baseball
I think,
fan.
You know what we might need? We might need the World Series as just a single game.
Oh, my goodness.
Pitcher throw an inning or something like that. No. We might need that. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Where do you stand on candy corn as a Halloween treat? At least 16 states in Washington, D.C. pass out candy corn in sufficient volume to place it among their top three Halloween treats in a ranking by candystore.com. And in seven states, it's the number one Halloween treat. The Wall Street Journal looked at stats. In West Virginia, blow pops are the number one item handed out. In South Carolina,
Y'all prefer Skittles. But some states have bristled or simply been puzzled by their candy rankings. The Detroit Free Press, upon learning that candy corn is the top treat, wrote, quote, "Just like the Detroit Lions, Michigan disappointed us yet again." For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.